Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus comes preaching in this gospel, and he sounds a lot like John the Baptist. We know at the beginning of this text that John the Baptist has been imprisoned. And so Jesus moves to Capernaum, to Galilee, to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And he begins to preach, and his message is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven draws near. Now, I think when I hear this message, I often still hear John the Baptist saying, repent, so that the kingdom of heaven may draw near. Repentance as a condition by which we are found worthy for the kingdom of heaven to draw near. But in fact, this teaching is a little different than John's. For the kingdom of heaven draws near, and our response is a change of life. In the story this morning, Jesus comes walking along the shores, and he finds four fishermen, Peter and Andrew and James and John. And he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, in the text, they respond immediately and totally and leave their nets and their boats. And John and James leave their father, and they come to follow Jesus. Now, as a teaching story for the early church, this immediate and total response makes a lot of sense. This is how we respond to Jesus' call. But on that first day, is that really what happened? I mean, did Jesus, this man they've never seen, come along to them and they're throwing their nets in the sea and he says, come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of people. And they threw down their nets, good riddance, right? Were they so anxious to leave fishing? I mean, were John and James really trying to get away from Zebedee? It's sort of hard to believe. I mean, who is this guy? I think, in fact, it's probably something that happened over time, that they came to hear of Jesus, met Jesus, heard Jesus' preaching. And then on a certain day, at a certain time, they responded. The tipping point, that particular moment came, and they left their nets, and they left their families, and they followed Jesus. It's hard to know what they thought they were doing. You know, honestly, we know so little about the 12. I mean, we know their names. But even these four, these famous four, we have just a little bit of knowledge. We know that James is the first apostle martyred. He dies in Acts, in chapter 12. He is martyred by Herod Agrippa. His brother John, a little more unclear. He may be the inspiration for the Gospel of John, but probably not. He may have had a hand in the letters of John, but probably not. He might have been the beloved disciple in the text of John, but probably not. Yet the historic record is just too thin to really know. One story has him being the last apostle alive, living to an old age in Ephesus. About Andrew, we know nothing at all. Peter's brother appears in this text, but not in Acts. His role is completely unknown to us. But about Peter, we know almost too much. Of all the people in this scene, at least Peter is clearly became a fisher of people. For we see him, the spokesperson for the apostles, running hot and cold, denying Christ three times, and then going on to be a leader in the early church. Peter and Paul and Apollos and others. And so Peter is fairly prominent in the first half of Acts, but then gradually less and less so. So it's hard to know what they thought they were doing. But they were going to be fishers of people. Fishing's a kind of tricky metaphor for evangelism and missionary work, don't you think? I mean, you bait the hook. You cast the lure. You throw out a net and gather in the fish unwillingly. Haul them in and eat them. So that they were going to be fishers of men, fishers of people. If we consider the task that they had before them, I think one thing that's hard for us to hear is just what a peculiar story they go out into the world to tell. Consider Peter's task. The Son of God became a man and was crucified and killed by Roman authorities with the assistance of the leaders of the Jewish community, his own community. And not only that, but one of the members of his inner circle sold him out for money. And I, who stand before you, denied him three times before he died. And then he rose from the dead. You can see how you might need to bait the hook, lure people in, be a patient fisherman, someone who is prepared to take the time. Because, as Paul says in the text today, it's foolishness, this message about the cross. Foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, like the four who are called this morning, it is the power of God. I really like the way Paul says, being saved. I like the unfolding process of that salvation in our lives going on now, going on then. The being saved. I've never really liked that expression of, I was saved last July. On a particular day. Done. Now we're just waiting. So the unfolding of salvation in our lives, I think, is an important recognition because that is, in fact, the reason for repentance. The kingdom of heaven draws near, and we are being saved by the power of God. So it turns out that the fishers of men are catch and release. Because we're all caught and freed. And by the power of that freedom, how then are we to live? Knowing that we are being saved. Knowing that the kingdom of heaven draws near. What repentance, what change of life is occurring in you now? Consider this. We have these choices. How do we respond to being caught and now released? Amen.